I'll sit in front of the whole congregation. My apologies to the piano player. I said that we're going to be singing the Amen just today. He did not know that. And there are no Amens written in the book. But thank you. I appreciate that. Our scripture today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Let's hear God's word. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. It ends the reading in God's word. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you again for the blessing of your word. We thank you, our Father, you have not left us without knowledge of your purposes for us, or of the glories of your Son coming to this earth. Our Father, as we read this passage, there may be things that trouble us. And yet we know what our Savior has done is done with purpose. We pray your blessing on our hearing of this word, and then your blessing on the ministry of this word to our hearing. We ask that you would hear us then in Jesus' name. Amen. The prayers of the saints, what a blessing it is. And one of the proverbs it says, and this is one of the more troubling proverbs, that if a man doesn't give ear to the law of God, even his prayer is an abomination. Again, that one really struck me when I read that. Even his prayer is an abomination, that some prayer can be an abomination to God. And yet, yes, lawlessness is an abomination to God, and trying to pray as if we aren't sinners. But yet the prayers of the saints and the great promises of God. And then you look at that beautiful verse at the end of 1 John in chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, two verses here. And it's almost like a circular argument that is made here for us regarding prayer. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. It's beautiful. We can bring our prayers to our God, and as we ask according to his will, God hears us. And you've probably heard this many times before. Children's Catechism is, you know, what is prayer? Prayer is asking God for things he promises to give. You could almost try to think of all the possibilities here. Prayers, asking God for things he promises to give. And so that directs our prayers. That directs the Lord's Prayer. These are things he promises to give. That's why we are. That's why we can pray that. In the prayers, the passages, Philippians 4 and following in verses 4 and following of Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You could almost recite that with me, couldn't you? You've probably heard that so many times and thought of that so many times. So the Psalms, Psalm 17, I call upon you for you will answer me. I call on God. O God, my righteousness, you have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. And then that command at the end of the picture of the Christian armor in Ephesians chapter 6. After the prayer that we have all of these implements of armor, there is the one implement that is not really pictured with any armor, but yet comes out and stands out as important as any piece of armor. And pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You heard my accent on the word all. I love God's word when he just punctuates that. Today we're going to talk about a prayer. And it's a prayer that's in the ministry of Jesus. A prayer that is just so earnest. And a prayer that is something that we would see Jesus hearing. And yet the picture of this particular prayer and the story of this particular prayer is one that we can't understand. I can't wrap my mind around it. I can't give all the reasons that are there in this passage. And you can't gather it just from what I wrote in an outline here. Because the second part of the outline is really the issue. Jesus goes, first of all, it's the beginning of the third Galilean ministry. There are three major Galilean ministries. One where he is growing in popularity, people are getting to know him. A second Galilean ministry toward the second year in which he becomes a very popular figure. And then people start to drift from him. And then we come to the third Galilean ministry, which is much harder look at what Jesus is going to be enduring. But this is about Jesus and the Canaanite woman. He ventures beyond an area that he normally doesn't go into. Jesus' ministry beyond the borders. Verse 21, followed by verse 22 to 27, Jesus' ministry pursued by the Canaanite woman. And then verse 28, Jesus' ministry lovingly poured out for her. It's that second point that has three sub-points that we're going to be looking at. And these are not easy to look at. They're not easy to look at because we probably felt some of these same things in our lives. Jesus, help me. And it seems like nothing. But Jesus goes beyond the borders of Galilee. Some say he's right on the border. But it says he withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. There are other times that Jesus does go into foreign territory. Some people think that Mount Hermon was the Mount of Transfiguration, which meant Jesus went considerably north. We know that he went into Samaria because he met with a Samaritan woman. He went into another area on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the town of Gadara, which was not far from swineherders. Not exactly Jewish business. But Jesus went away. In Samaria, he meets a Samaritan woman. In Gadara, he meets a man who is possessed by a demon. Now he meets a Canaanite woman. Verse 22, as he and his disciples are walking along in this area, he says, "Behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out. And then hear her plea. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Some people say this may not indicate that she knows Jesus is the Messiah, but that he is the Son of David. Two blind men outside of Jericho cry out, "Son of David, help me." And Jesus heals them of their blindness. The crowds that swirl around Jesus on the triumphal entry, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The Son of David. She knows something about Jesus. She knows who he is. His reputation has gone ahead of him. But here comes the difficult part. He comes back with three responses. Actually, four. But the three that are the hardest to wrestle with. What do we read in verse 23? "But he did not answer her a word." She cries out with the most urgent plea you could ever hear. And how many times in our own prayers have we poured out our hearts to our God in the name of Jesus Christ? And we didn't appear to get any answer. Jesus doesn't answer her. But then again, does Jesus always answer our prayers immediately? Are there times God tests our patience? And the answer there is yes. Are there times that God allows us to go through tests? And the answer is yes. Just look at the prepositions in the New Testament. I probably said this in this church before. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. You list that, all the different things in Romans chapter 8. That no temptation has taken you, 1 Corinthians 10:13. But such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may bear up under it. Notice it doesn't say it's going to be wiped, it's going to be just pushed away. It's just going to be a non-existent thing anymore. It means you still have to bear up under it. It's a wonderful passage of hope. It's a passage of hope in which when we don't quite get the answer we want or we're still looking for an answer, what do? We keep praying. We keep looking to Jesus. We ask for patience. We ask for a heart that submits to whatever his will is for our life. Well, this lady didn't stop. Jesus' silence, the Son of David's silence, was not sufficient to make her think that he couldn't care less about her daughter. She wouldn't believe that. So she starts getting after the disciples. Come on, make him say something. Make him do something. Help it. Tell him to do something. And the disciples are bothered by it. And they finally come up to Jesus and say, send her away. She's crying after us. Now we can get a response. Or can we? The response we want. Or is it? What is Jesus' response? I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Lady, you're excluded. Now, Jesus said the same thing to his disciples when he sent them out in Matthew chapter 10. He names the 12 disciples. He sends them out with instructions. But in those instructions, he says, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so it's not something that Jesus is saying that they haven't heard before. But to the woman, it's an exclusion. The earnestness of her prayer and petition. What's she going to do? I'm not part of the group. Jesus just pushed me away. Where do I go? Just forget it? Perhaps you've heard enough stories of people that have just said, well, God didn't help me here, and so why should I believe in God? Why should I trust Him? But no, the lady, she kept on. She cries out to Jesus, Son of David. She goes after the disciples and cries out to them for help. And then finally, after these two rebuffs, as it were, she falls down at Jesus' feet and says, Lord, help me. And Jesus gives a third answer. The first answer, silence. The second answer, exclusion. The third answer, he says in verse 26, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. It's a derision, as it were, an insult. Some people would understand it to be. And in the Bible it is. Revelation 22:15, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters. Outside are the dogs. Not in heaven. From the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs. Let's say trample them underfoot. And even in Exodus 22, the things that they are not allowed to eat, they said, you shall throw it to the dogs. Okay, three times Jesus comes back with an answer. From silence to exclusion, as it were, to a put down. I can't fully explain that. And yet, I'm not going to attribute a holy Christ to awful purposes. And I don't think any of us should ever do that either. When we bring our prayers before our God, we bring our prayers to a God who hears. Whether he hears exactly the way we want to all the time and the way he wants to all the time, we may not feel, as it were, that it's the way it should be. But then how does she answer him? Yes, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I'll be a dog for you. If I'm a dog, I'm a dog. But there's only one place I can find help, and that's from you, Son of David. Look back at John 6, and you see Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then right after that, he talks about himself as the bread of life. Eat my flesh. And with that picture where Jesus, where the people were looking for a king that would be providing everything for them, that their life is going to be complete with him on this earth. They can live their life freely on this earth because Rome isn't going to take stuff from them anymore. They have Jesus to provide for them. And then Jesus starts talking in other terms that his kingdom is not of this world. And people start leaving him. Oh, you're not going to provide for everything. You're not the one who's going to do better than Rome. Well, he is going to do better than Rome. He's going to do better than anyone on this earth could possibly ever do. Not in the same way that anyone on this earth would do it. But provide us with something that is far, far greater. He's going to give us eternal life. And even through the most difficult of circumstances, he's going to lead us and provide for us that which will never take away that life. Nothing can take away that life. Death cannot take away that life. That's why Paul can say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's why Jesus can say to those who have died, about those who have died, they're asleep. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But after Jesus tells the crowd this about himself, after all the blessings he's brought to them, after the blessing of knowing that he is the Messiah come, and then starts to show just what the Messiah is all about, it's not going to relieve us of all earthly difficulties. And the crowd starts to leave. And Jesus sits down with the disciples. He says, do you want to go away also? And Simon Peter answers him with an answer that we all need to take to heart. Lord, to whom shall we go? Shall we look to the philosophers? Shall we look to the German philosophers of the last century? Shall we look to the politicians of today? Where do we go? You have life. You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Where else can we go? I'm going to say that's where this woman is coming from. Where else can I go? I'll be a dog. But I'm not going to stop asking you, O God, O Lord, Son of David. Beautiful words at the end of Psalm 73. When the things of this world look so inviting, And the people who don't care at all about God, but just live it up, and they don't seem to have any problems. And so the way he describes it in the psalm. But at the end, he goes into the sanctuary. He sees the sacrifice. He sees the prayers. He sees the incense. He sees the work of our God. And his heart is turned. He says, I couldn't tell my children what I've just said. I couldn't tell my children that this is the way to go in the world, that the world alone holds what we have for us. No, the world doesn't hold what we have for us. We need to get along in the world. We need to show ourselves faithful to our God and what he has given to us. But our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, our anchor. Whom have I in heaven but you, Psalm 73. And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's the answer we bring in our prayer. When there's nothing else in our lives, we don't find the answers, as it were, just as we want the answers. Our cry is like hers, only in these words, whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth there's nothing I desire beside you, O God. God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. So, four times the woman comes to Jesus. Three times we've seen the, as it were, rebuffs. And the woman doesn't stop coming. She will even become insulted for the sake of looking to Christ and knowing that there's no other way but to find it in Jesus Christ. And then we get a fourth answer from Jesus. O woman, verse 28, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. What an ending to this passage. I know we can read it in only a couple minutes. But just take the time, as we're doing right now in this sermon, and work through the different issues and try to think to ourselves, this applies to me, doesn't it? I know what it's like not to get an answer that I've wanted in the exact way I wanted it. Does that mean we stop praying? No. To whom else do we go? Who else has the words of life? Who in this world can make big promises to you that are fulfilled and completed as Christ has already done? She's not the first foreigner. And Jesus points this out. I don't know how many of you went to Christian school and had Bible lessons through a man by the name of Bossenbrook. Nobody knows that name. I know people that know that name. Yeah, he was our pastor in that. But one thing he emphasizes there, and in Jesus' ministry, how Jairus, a very upstanding Jewish man, his daughter's very sick, sick unto death, and Jesus takes his time. But Jairus wants one thing of her, and that is that he touch her. That he touch her. Well, by the time Jesus gets there, She's died. He says she's sleeping. And he speaks to her, holds out her hand, rises from the dead. It's a beautiful story. The Boston Group puts this passage over against another story where he comes to Capernaum and a centurion, a Roman centurion, comes to Jesus and said, My servant is paralyzed, lying at home, suffering. So, and Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. But the centurion says, no, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you in my house. Just say the word. And Jesus does this. And he says, go. And Jesus marveled at the fact that this was a centurion. He says, truly, I haven't found one in all Israel who have such a faith. Say the word. That's a picture of the Samaritan, this Canaanite woman, is it not? Say the word. Like this Roman centurion. We know the story of the 10 lepers. Now, these 10 come out to Jesus and they call on him. And Jesus heals them and he says, go show yourselves to the priests. And they all start to go away and have the priests, of course, pronounce cleansing on them. But one of them comes back to give thanks. And Luke, who writes about this, says that Jesus says, where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? He wasn't even among the Jews, a foreigner. So you look at Jesus' history, the healing that he brought. And so as we look at this again, God promises to hear your prayers. Never forget that. Where can you go to find someone who will hear your prayers and fulfill the promises that he has made for you? You can't. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Where can we go, O Lord? You have the words of life. So how do you deal with God's answers? It's not always easy, is it? But we know the direction to take. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid the full price. He rose again from the dead. Death is conquered, and there's nothing in this world that can bring that to us apart from Jesus Christ. That's your promise. Amen. Our Father in heaven, how grateful we are for the blessing of your word. And even from the occasions in which our Savior heals and shows that healing is not something that we deserve, but is a healing, Lord, that can only be received by faith in you. As we pursue you, trusting you alone, our Father, even as this Canaanite woman, bless us, Lord, with such a faith. Bless us, Lord, that we may cling to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, not bringing anything in our hand, but looking to him alone for our salvation. Our Father, you know the issues in our lives. We pray for one another in this congregation. And we pray that you would hear our prayers and that you would bring relief. That you would bring healing. But we also pray you would bring patience. And that you would bring a continued trust under all circumstances. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.